The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
And Mr. O'Boyle, we just heard from you, your interaction with Mr. Gates and how all of this occurred and all of the hardships you've gone through. If one of your really good friends, your former colleagues, came to you and said, I have this thing that is being covered up and I think the American people need to know about it, what advice would you give them?
I would tell them first to pray about it long and hard. And I would tell them I could take it to Congress for them, or I could put them in touch with Congress, but I would advise them not to do it.
So you would legitimately try to protect one of your colleagues from doing what you have done?
Absolutely.
And how do you think that solves being able to shine light on corruption, weaponization, any kind of misconduct that exists with the American people?
It doesn't solve it. But the FBI will crush you. This government will crush you and your family if you try to expose the truth about things that they are doing that are wrong. And we are all examples of that.
That's from the weaponization conference or testimony yesterday. Three whistleblowers from the FBI that have had their lives ruined. The FBI set out, as this man testified, to crush them. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show. Today, we're broadcasting from a lovely hotel room in Columbus, Ohio. Just last night, we enjoyed another performance of Celtic Throne down in Dayton, about an hour or so from Columbus. 600 people turned out for that. I was just thinking about some of the numbers this morning. And by the way, we're bringing back the tradition of getting the feedback from the audience. We've got 2.5 minutes of that we'll play later on in the show. But just in thinking about some of the numbers, a couple weeks ago, we had the opening performance for this fourth tour, this fourth summer tour of Celtic Throne. And I think we had about 700 people in Edmond, our home facility, the beautiful Armstrong Auditorium. 600 in Dayton last night. I think right now for Columbus, which has a Monday night showing, it's sitting at about 450. We've already got a couple of other places, I believe, in Wilmington and New Jersey. I forget the other city, that are already up to about 500 or 600 tickets sold. So this is shaping up to be the most popular tour of Celtic Throne. And as it should be, again, you'll hear the feedback from some of those that saw the show last evening. In any event, thanks to Sam here traveling with me and Jesse back in the studio, who's going to be running all the clips and the show, basically. And here we are remotely beaming the signal back to Edmond so that all of you can watch this live at trumpetdaily.com. Or, of course, you can go over to our channel on Rumble, the Trumpet Daily, to watch the live stream every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States. We're in the eastern zone now, though, so this is our noontime broadcast here in Ohio. Lots to get to from this testimony yesterday, not just from Mr. O'Boyle, but there were two other witnesses that were there as well. Let me just give you some of the background from Garrett O'Boyle, or rather let you hear from him, his background of service to his country. Clip 6.
I'm here today because even though I'm wrongfully suspended from the FBI, I remain duty bound to the American people to play my small role in rectifying these issues. After all, I never swore an oath to the FBI. I swore an oath to the Constitution. I've served my nation and community my entire adult life, first in the United States Army, then as a police officer, and lastly as an FBI special agent. Shortly after high school, I joined the United States Army, where I served in the infantry, and I was quickly promoted through the ranks. I deployed to both Iraq and Afghanistan in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation Enduring Freedom. I served in the historic 101st Airborne Division. I've been smeared as a malcontent and subpar FBI employee. this smear stands in stark contrast to my life in public service. This smear campaign, disgusting as it is unsurprising. Despite our oath to uphold the Constitution, too many in the FBI aren't willing to sacrifice for the hard right over the easy wrong. They see what becomes of whistleblowers, how the FBI destroys their careers, suspends them under false pretenses, takes their security clearances and pay with no true options for real recourse or remedy. This is by design. It creates an Orwellian atmosphere that silences opposition and discussion. We know what is right to do, yet we too often refuse to do what is right because of the difficulty and suffering it incurs. I couldn't knowingly continue on this path silently without speaking out against the weaponization I witnessed, even if it meant losing my job, my career, my livelihood, my family's home, and now my anonymity.
All of that is exactly what happened. Listen to him describe how the FBI tried to crush him, to use his word from the earlier clip. This is clip 7.
I've sworn to defend this country from enemies, both foreign and domestic, even if that means sacrificing my life. I've lived that oath out since first enlisting in the Army, consistently saying, here am I, send me. My oath, however, did not include sacrificing the hopes, dreams, and livelihood of my family, my strong, beautiful, and courageous wife, and our 4 sweet and beautiful daughters who have endured this process along with me. In weaponized fashion, the FBI allowed me to accept orders to a new position halfway across the country. They allowed us to sell my family's home. They ordered me to report to the new unit when our youngest daughter was 2 weeks old. Then, on my first day on the new assignment, they suspended me, rendering my family homeless. They refused to release our goods, including our clothes, for weeks. All I wanted to do was serve my country by stopping bad guys and protecting the innocent. To my chagrin, bad guys have begun running parts of the government, making it difficult to continue to serve this nation and protect the innocent. But I, for one, will never stop trying, and I'll never forget my oath.
Courageous man right there. There was another one. I forget his last name. I think it was Friend, but listen to him describe his experience with the FBI. Clip 4.
So you followed inside protocol for the FBI, utilizing whistleblower statute protection information regulations through the FBI to make your complaints and information be known.
Yes.
And you did that to your supervisors.
3 levels of supervisors.
3 levels of supervisors. And the response to that was losing your security clearance, shutting you out, losing your job, taking away your pay.
That's correct.
And once they lose their security clearance, they basically can't get into work and they can't get another job. They're still technically connected to the FBI. It's the FBI's way of basically squeezing you out and forcing you to quit. And so you can see why, when you listen to the testimony of these men, you can see why there aren't that many whistleblowers. Now, Jim Jordan has certainly made a big point out of the fact that there's a couple dozen, but for an agency with tens of thousands of agents, you would think there'd be a lot more. But that's why there isn't, because they know they'll be crushed. I mean, for Mr. Boyle basically to say, if a whistleblower came to him asking what he should do, he's basically saying, I would tell them, don't do it. Don't do it, because look at what they did to me. They will crush you. Now, as far as tomorrow's news today, I mean, we've been writing about this corruption for a number of years. If you haven't subscribed to the Trumpet magazine, there's no cost, no obligation. You can get a free 1-year subscription by calling our 800 number if you live in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. It's 1-866-930-3024. This is from August of last year. We wrote at The Trumpet, the website, what's the greatest threat to the United States national security? Federal intelligence officials cite Russian strategy, Chinese espionage, Iranian ambition, North Korean unpredictability. These are major threats to U.S. national security, of course. But the top threat might be federal intelligence officials. Here's the top threat. It comes from within, as we wrote at The Trumpet. It says here, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, one of the government's main security agencies, has been involving itself in multiple national elections and almost always in favor of one side. I mean, that's putting it nicely. They're always, always favoring the radical left, because they've been thoroughly weaponized by Barack Hussein Obama. It says here, a nation can survive its fools, and even the ambitious novelist Taylor Caldwell wrote, but it cannot survive treason from within. It says here, an enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly, but the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, head in the very halls of government itself. That's a quote from the novelist. You see, the traitors, they move much more deceitfully. They speak in whispers, in hushed tones, even as they go about, like the devil would, an angel of light, but he devours like a roaring lion. He crushes the opposition. That's what so many of these whistleblowers are going up against. That's what Donald Trump has gone up against for years. We'll come to him in just a second. Let me first play a clip from Bill Barr. And he's the one going back to the start of the Durham investigation, something like 4 years ago. Barr's the one who signed off on it and turned John Durham loose. But notice what Barr stresses in this clip, I believe on Fox News earlier this week, clip 8.
As Attorney General, you launched the special counsel John Durham probe. Critics say the Durham report fell flat. What's your response?
Well, I launched the Durham probe not as a criminal investigation, but to get to the bottom of the whole Russia, the genesis of the Russiagate scam. And the people who are criticizing it are the people who perpetuated the big lie of Russiagate and advanced that false narrative, peddled it to the American people, and did immense damage to our country.
It did immense damage to our country. But as he stresses earlier on, just so that you know, this is not a criminal probe. I just wanted to get to the bottom of the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. How could anyone, this is the line that the radical left is now taking. Okay, so we made some mistakes. Maybe Durham revealed that we had some missteps here, or we didn't measure up to the fidelity of law-keeping the way that the agency used to. But we didn't. There's no criminal behavior here. He almost has a smirk on his face when he says, I launched it not as a criminal probe. It's like they're proud of the fact that they've exposed all of this damage, immense damage to the country. And yet nobody's a criminal. Nobody is going to jail for it. Nobody's being held to account. They go after the radical left to a point, some of these guys, but they're not held to account, which is why after every election cycle, you keep seeing. I mean, look at what happened in, if Durham was trying to get to the bottom of what happened in 2016 and 17, well, then look at what happened in 2020 with covering up the Hunter Biden laptop. The FBI did that. Bill Barr did that. He's part of the problem. He's part of the cover-up. They cover for their own, just like Sundance has been saying over at Conservative Treehouse. Listen to Lee Smith. He was on with Steve Bannon the other day talking about how Bill Barr is to blame here, not John Durham. The fact that there's no indictments to go with it. It's Bill Barr who's to blame. Clip 9.
Barr's job was to make sure that people were held accountable before the 2020 election cycle. If they were not held accountable, and by which I mean being held accountable, not just having their name included in a lengthy report like the Durham report we have before us, but that they were not led away in orange jumpsuits, we were going to see the same sorts of problems in 2020. Which is exactly what happened. So I lay most of the blame here on William Barr.
History keeps repeating itself because they're not punished. These dirty cops, they're not punished. And every time we go through another cycle of it, they'll come out and say, look, don't worry. Just trust us. We're the government. We've made some reforms. All of the messiness has been cleaned up. And then they go about their, laying their web of deceit time and time again. Time and time again, covering up the laptop, manipulating the rules at Twitter, social media, big tech. Look at how much has been revealed. All of it. And there's people that are actually saying there's no criminality here. Of course there is. They break the law with impunity and continue to do so. You could add to the Lee Smith soundbite there, 2022. Look at what they get away with in Arizona. Carrie Lake still trying to fight for the truth to get out with her lawsuit. Listen to Jim Jordan as he warns these whistleblowers at the and of course, as if right on cue, here are all these Democrats ganging up on the whistleblowers as if they're the problem. They're really standing up for the FBI, the deep state, the DOJ. This is Jim Jordan, the committee chair, yesterday, clip five.
We've talked to over 24 whistleblowers. People have come to us. We've interviewed several of those, and today three of them. Three of those brave whistleblowers and a lawyer who represents them will tell us their story. They will tell us what happened, what they saw, and then what happened to them because they were courageous enough to report it to Congress. And I just want to tell you guys, get ready. Get ready, because these guys are going to come after you. You know they are.
You know they are. I mean, it's really sad, isn't it? To see what has happened to the United States, to see what has happened to the system of justice, the Department of Injustice, as I like to call it. O'Boyle again, he said, the government will crush you and your family if you try to expose the truth about things that they are doing that are wrong. And we are all examples of that, he says, looking at the panel there, these three whistleblowers. We're examples of that, of the fact that the government will come at you and crush you. And as I say, you know who the biggest example of that is? It's Donald Trump. And Crossfire Hurricane, the Durham report proves it. It's like I said yesterday on the show. I mean, Monday you've got the release of Durham's report, and then you've got these whistleblowers testifying. The FBI is being exposed as the police state arm of the Democrat Party. That's what it amounts to. And you go back to the way they went after Donald Trump in 2016. They had no, Durham says they had no evidence of Russian collusion, and yet they launched Crossfire Hurricane anyway and created the Hillary campaign, created the fake, dirty dossier. And that's how they tried to take down Trump. All of them. That's a lot of criminality from top to bottom. Barack Obama, he signed off on it. It was his DOJ. As Lee Smith brings out, I've got another clip for you here in just a moment, but as Lee Smith brings out, I mean, look, Hillary created the hoax, but don't forget it was Obama's DOJ and FBI. He's exactly right. This clip, this has made the rounds over the years. It's Senator Chuck Schumer back in early January 2017, and this was after Donald Trump tweeted something out. He was criticizing the intelligence community, and listen to what Chuck Schumer said to Rachel Maddow. While president, he was president-elect Trump at the time. This is clip one.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know, but I, from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about them. And we need the intelligence community. We don't know what's going on. Look at the Russian hacking. Without the intelligence community, we wouldn't have discovered it.
Without the intelligence community, we wouldn't have discovered the Russia collusion hoax, the hacking into the DNC and all those things. We need the... What a shameful admission for this senator to say, if you come after the intelligence community, they have six ways to Sunday to get you back, to crush you, in other words. That's quite an admission of there being a deep state and their unelected bureaucrats, the administrative state, and they think they run the show. Donald Trump comes in and he wants to rein them in, and look at what they did to try to crush him. Well, he couldn't quite be crushed, as I'll get to in just a second. Let me just first quote to you from America Under Attack. We're going to be promoting this book, of course, at the Personal Appearance Campaign. That's on Sunday here in Columbus. And then, as I say, we've got the Celtic Throne performance on Monday night. So a doubleheader, so to speak, right here in Columbus. But America Under Attack, it says, how could radicals keep all their corruption quiet? Why did some Republicans let them? Well, they all live by an understanding in the swamp, as Washington's political class is often called. The understanding is this: if you don't go along with the way things are done, the established powers will ensure you lose everything. See, that's AUA basically saying that they will crush you, just like O'Boyle testified yesterday. They'll crush you. These people were literally trying to overthrow the government of the land. That's what they were trying to do. And yet Bill Barr sits there and says, now, I just want you to know, this was not launched as a criminal probe. I mean, we don't think they're criminals. These people who tried to overthrow the government, overthrow the presidency of Donald Trump, they're not criminals. It's not criminals to create a fake Russian collusion hoax and then use the DOJ and the FBI to spy and to persecute and to try to destroy Donald Trump's presidency. That's treason. All of them should be in jail. All of them should be in prison. Of course. In a different time, they would be. My father says this is what 2 Kings 14 prophecy is all about. There was no helper for Israel. No helper. That prophecy, 2 Kings 14, I mean, it talks about there being bitter affliction. That's what we're seeing here. Now, again, so much of it's being exposed, just as my father said that it would. We know, it says, that the Justice Department and the FBI lied to the FISA court. I mean, there's your criminal activity right there. They went in and did it four times to the court. They lied to the court. And they got away with it. They got away with it, at least to this point. Listen to, talk about a breath of fresh air. I'm pretty sure this is the gal that replaced Liz Cheney. She's part of this committee. And listen to what she said about the deep state yesterday, clip two.
Under Christopher Wray and Merrick Garland, the FBI and the DOJ are broken. It is politically weaponized against the American people, using constitutionally protected rights as a predicate to investigate and surveil people. They target conservatives inside and outside of the organization, and they are crushing anyone who dares to report their wrongdoing. Sadly, what we will see from the Democrats today will not be a focus on the substance of what these brave men have exposed, or a discussion of how to protect our constitutional rights and institutions from the tyrants who are running these agencies. Instead, what we will see is a deflection. They will call our witnesses names. They will scream MAGA, an extremist, at the top of their lungs. They will pound the tables. They will continue to gaslight us about Russia, Russia, Russia. Because that's all that Adam Schiff knows what to say.
There you go. A nice pause for effect earlier. And then laying stress on Russia, Russia, Russia. That's, as I say, Harriet Hageman. I was thinking of Maggie Haberman. She's the New York Times writer. I mentioned this story a few weeks ago. It's the one where they're writing about the boxes. You know, they're trying to get Trump on moving some boxes around at Mar-a-Lago. And the New York Times assigns 5 reporters to this story. That's how important it is. This is the DOJ trying to crush Donald Trump, get him on a technicality. And you see that, you read that between the lines when you go through the article. It says here, the existence of an insider witness whose identity, this is from May 4th, has not been disclosed, could be a significant step in the investigation, which is being overseen by Jack Smith. I mean, this you wonder how that this can go forward as America is waking up to this level of corruption inside the DOJ. How can you take any of these investigations seriously, these investigations into Trump? As I say, he's the biggest target of all. They're trying to get him on a bookkeeping charge in Manhattan. They've got the fake rape case. And now here's the mystery of the moving boxes. It's crazy. It says here, prosecutors appear to be trying to fill in some gaps in their knowledge about the movement of the boxes. They're trying to figure out the gaps in the movement of boxes, if you can believe it. Two people said that nearly everyone who works at Mar-a-Lago has been subpoenaed. Nearly everyone? That's right. They've all been subpoenaed. It says here, that some who serve in fairly obscure jobs have been asked back by investigators, coming back for a second investigation or a second deposition or whatever they're called, an interview. It says here, prosecutors have also issued several subpoenas to Mr. Trump's company, the Trump Organization, seeking additional surveillance footage from Mar-a-Lago, his residence and private club in Florida. People with knowledge of the matter said, it says, while the footage could shed light on the movement of the boxes, prosecutors have questioned a number of witnesses about gaps in the footage, one of the people said. Further on, it says another related line of inquiry for Mr. Smith's team is whether Mr. Trump misled one of his lawyers, M. Evan Cochran, about the movement of classified documents around Mar-a-Lago. At the start of this, they had to do the raid because, well, he was sitting on the nuclear codes. Now they're trying to look at the footage that the Trump people are turning over. They're cooperating so that they can see if there's any gaps in the movement of these boxes. It says here, to obtain Mr. Cochran's testimony on the subject, which would ordinarily be blocked by attorney-client privilege. You got to waive all that stuff. You don't need to protect Donald Trump with attorney-client privilege. You got to know, because he's the bad orange man. We got to get him on a technicality. And that's obviously what they're going after here. They're not looking at any crimes committed. So they're trying to catch him on some kind of an obstruction charge or get him on a process crime. So obvious what they're doing. They've done it before. I mean, think about, again, it's not to suggest Donald Trump's squeaky clean, but if they're spying on him for 13 months, what does it say that they couldn't even get something on him that they got illegally through spying? They spied on him for 13 months. And the best they got is a bookkeeping error. That's not even an error. A fake rape case from 1995 or 96. She's not sure, the victim. And then now moving boxes, the case of the moving boxes. Meanwhile, look at what's been revealed this week about Obama, about the deep state, about the FBI, about the DOJ, Clinton. I saw a headline today. Just how soft the FBI has gone on the Clinton family for all their crimes. You had the server, you had the destroyed emails, you had the Clinton Foundation, you had the tens of millions they were making, not unlike the Biden crime family. It's completely lopsided, isn't it? A one-sided system of justice. Get Trump. That's what it amounts to. It says here, which allows them to pierce attorney-client privilege. See, the radical left, they can just shove aside attorney-client privilege. You could never do that with Clinton or Obama or any of them. They'd hide behind that right away. That's why they surround themselves with just about everybody and their dog are attorneys, so that they can hide behind attorney-client privilege. That said, there's, I think, some pretty good indication that a lot of these attacks on Donald Trump, on these whistleblowers, they're backfiring. This is from Jason Chaffetz. We made this point earlier this week. I just said how that, you know, when you look at these crazy investigations, when you see how the DOJ operates, when you see what they did with Crossfire Hurricane, how can Smith go forward, Jack Smith go forward, and now try to get Donald Trump on moving some boxes around at Mar-a-Lago? Trump, as we know, he had the power to declassify, and they're saying nothing. They're saying nothing about all the boxes that Joe Biden moved around. He's got them all over the country. Nobody's being subpoenaed from the Biden crime family or the crime syndicate, you can be sure. Chaffetz says here, who's going to trust the Department of Justice now? In the wake of Special Counsel John Durham's long-awaited report, Americans now know there was widespread political collusion and deliberate deception from the very top of the Obama administration, the Clinton campaign, the corporate media, and the Department of Justice, all in favor of Democrats. says not only did they abuse their power and lie to the public, they seem to be proud of it. You can see why. You can see why Peter Strzok would go on TV and say, ha, 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 we got 17 indictments and you got zero. They're bragging. They're proud of this. They're proud of controlling the government. Says here, with the facts now added to the long list of formerly crazy conspiracy theories come true, former President Donald Trump is essentially inoculated from any future prosecution by virtue of the public mistrust in an obviously weaponized federal government. It says even if prosecutors somehow manage to get a partisan jury to convict, the public will see it as a political witch hunt predicated primarily on partisan politics. Chaffetz says here, the more they try to get him, the stronger they make him. I mean, Chaffetz, I don't know if he's a never-Trumper, but he's there as an established Republican with the Fox News network. And he's basically saying, look, the more you go after the biggest target of all, the stronger he gets. That you've got to go back again to 2 Kings 14 and see what God says there. It says God intervenes to save Israel by the hand of Jeroboam. God's going to intervene. He's already exposing all of this filth, but he's got some work yet to do to temporarily save the United States. 2 Kings 14 says the aim of this Antiochus movement is to blot out even the name. Even the name, they just want to crush it, to go with the language O'Boyle used yesterday. I would suggest they don't come forward and blow the whistle, because the government will crush you. They sent him off, him and his family, as you heard there, to Wisconsin. And the day that they got there, they were fired. They had just sold their house. All of their belongings were in an FBI containment center. They just wanted to crush him, to destroy him, as he says there. It says, for this reason, both, this is Chaffetz, for this reason, both Democrats and Republicans should fear what could come next if they don't clip the wings of this rogue federal agency and institute serious systemic changes. It says, if they can do it to Trump, and they did, then they can do it again to anyone. And you're seeing examples of that now all over the place. It's exactly what Donald Trump warned about while he was president. If they can do it to me, think about what they can do to you. Think about what they can do to some lowly whistleblower, some federal agent, FBI agent that sees corruption, and he's in a field office in Wisconsin or somewhere. It says, to restore its position as a co-equal branch of government. Well, basically he's saying, you know, Congress needs to step up and either defund, or insist on reform right across the board. But I'll just give you his conclusion here. Jason Chaffetz, he says, sadly, the American people have lost trust of the most important institutions, the Centers for Disease Control and the Department of Justice. And this may very well propel Trump back into the White House. This may propel him. Because, and you can see this in the polls, as I've said before, the more they go after him, the more popular he is. You think about Chuck Schumer. I mean, these radical Democrats, they know their policies are unpopular. They know America doesn't want a fundamental transformation top to bottom. And so this is how they play. They play dirty. They crush you. Now, as I've said this past week as well, besides just, you know, revealing the extent of the corruption in these alphabet agencies, you're also seeing more and more commentators singling out Barack Obama. This is Lee Smith again in that same exchange that he had with Steve Bannon, clip 10.
Brennan, Comey, Obama, Biden, Lynch, the whole lot of them knew. Of course, they did all know what was going on. They knew it was a Clinton campaign plan. And most significantly, we forget this all the time, right? We talk about the Clinton campaign. Remember, these are Barack Obama's spy chiefs, right? Not just one, all of them, right? So none of this happens without Barack Obama signing off on this. So it's important to keep Obama as well as Biden in the middle of this. It's not just Hillary Clinton.
not just Hillary Clinton, as he says there. That's Lee Smith on with Steve Bannon. Somebody, one of our viewers sent me this article by Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. I guess it's more of an interview that he had with Global Research. That's the name of the website. But the title is striking. The United States has been destroyed by its ruling elites. When you go back to even what Bill Barr admitted, you know, I just want to stress, it's not a criminal probe, but you know, this has caused immense damage to the country. He won't go after them, though, to stop it. He won't say they're criminals. He just says, look, there's a lot of missteps, but, you know, reform will take care of the problem. But listen to him. This is Dr. Paul Roberts. He says the special counsel's vindication of Donald Trump and denunciation of the FBI for conducting a politically motivated investigation devoid of any evidence should collapse the equally fraudulent Biden regime investigation of Trump on fake documents charges and the New York State prosecution of Trump on alleged expense misreporting charges. So he makes the same point Chaffetz does that we talked about a few days ago, that the exposure of this corruption, it should just blow up those other investigations, which are also fraudulent through and through. It says here, it's been clear for a long time that the list of fake charges against Trump supported by the media are propaganda to prevent Trump again running for president and to teach all future potential presidential candidates that they will be destroyed if they attempt to represent the people instead of the unelected ruling oligarchy. Here again, that you will be destroyed, or as O'Boyle said, you will be crushed if you resist. And a lot of people are intimidated into silence. We've made that point so many times before with respect to Rhino Republicans who won't fight. They're afraid, so many of them. Listen to this conclusion, though. It says here, sooner or later, and they changed subjects a little bit. He started talking about the economy and runaway inflation and so on. And Robert says here, sooner or later, the U.S. dollar's exchange value will fall, setting off high inflation in the U.S. that is outside the control of the central bank. It says American living standards will fall and the U.S. will begin to look like India in 1900. The hatred of white people that Democrats have taught to blacks and immigrant invaders will result in internal war. It says the only question is whether white Americans will have been so indoctrinated with their guilt that they are unable to defend themselves. He's basically predicting civil war because of this immense damage brought on by the ruling elites, brought on by the deep state, whatever it is that you want to call it. If you don't have America under attack, here again, it explains it all for you. And it's now in hardcover form. So if you want your free copy of America Under Attack, just call that 800 number that I gave to you earlier on in the program. Well, we don't have a whole lot of time left, but we have a lot more to get to. So stay with us. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily, broadcasting to you live from Columbus, Ohio. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Russia launched its largest missile offensive yet against Kyiv on May 15th and 16th. Ukraine claims it shot down all 18 missiles, including six missiles that have been labeled unstoppable, with the help of a U.S.-made Patriot air defense system. Despite Ukraine saying it intercepted the missiles, Russia's defense ministry claimed the attack was successful. On Tuesday, Russia's defense ministry said in a statement that the strike targeted storage facilities with ammunition, weapons, and military equipment supplied by Western countries, adding that all assigned targets have been hit. Though the fog of war hangs over this development, it appears Ukraine has defended itself at least partially against some of Russia's greatest weapons, which would be a significant blow to Russia's military posturing. To understand more about the significance of the crisis in Ukraine and where Russian aggression will ultimately lead, you can read The Ukraine War Will Not Start World War III. The Chinese Communist Party's forced labor program for Uyghur minorities has intensified. A recently published report indicates that lazy people, drunkards, and other people with insufficient inner motivation are being made to pick cotton in China's Xinjiang region. These unmotivated people include children and people as old as 77. By forcing Uyghurs to work, Beijing officials are not just looking for cheap labor. This is another dimension of the Chinese Communist Party's campaign to make the Uyghurs submit to its rule. During his ministry, Jesus Christ spoke of the times of the Gentiles, an era in which powerful Gentile nations such as Russia and China would be strong, authoritarian global powers. China's repressive domestic policies reflect the attitude of the Chinese Communist Party, which wants to subjugate its people and its Asian neighbors. To understand more about the significance of China's authoritarian actions, read Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Fleury's article, What Are the Times of the Gentiles? The Chinese government-owned shipping giant COSCO will soon have an almost 25% stake in Germany's largest port, Hamburg. Already, close to a third of all containers that pass through the port either come from or head to China. Last year, China hoped to get a 35% share in the port. Although the current deal gives China less control than it initially wanted, China has gained an inroads into Western infrastructure and an open door for more control later on. While Germany claims to be distancing itself from China economically, the opposite is true. The Bible reveals that we ought to watch Germany and China's alliance closely. Isaiah 23 reveals that the two will form a close trade alliance to the detriment of the U.S. Our article, Embracing China, explains this key prophecy in more detail. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
There's another one of our promos for Celtic Throne, and as I said at the top of the show, you've got the Columbus program that's performance that's coming up on Monday night. You can know all that you need to know about the summer tour by just going to CelticThrone.com. But Columbus is Monday night, and then they'll be hitting the road soon after that for a longer journey to get over to Washington D.C. That performance in D.C. is next Thursday evening. So Columbus next week on Monday, and then and then Washington, D.C. on Thursday. With that, that's a perfect lead-in for the feedback that we got last night in Dayton, Ohio. Here's some from that.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's awesome.
What's your favorite part about it so far?
The combination of singing and dancing, and they play music too. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. I like it.
That was pretty amazing so far. Like, where all the boys were dancing, there's like lightning and thunder.
Yeah, and the music's really cool too.
It's been really awesome. He's loved how dramatic he is. Yeah,
it's real dramatic.
Oh, it's great. It's great, very impressive. But yeah, no, the Irish music. I love the Irish, when they're dancing the Irish music, that's awesome.
We absolutely loved it, every minute of it. It's fantastic. I know, I just loved it all.
I was skeptical at first. I'm like, oh, well, but I'm like, no. I was entranced the whole time.
Yeah, it was excellent. It was awesome.
That's really nice with families. That's special.
I thought it was amazing.
Great.
Very well.
Great, loved it.
Oh, the show was great. A lot of energy, a lot of, it was exciting. Liked it.
It was really good. Really very well done for a family production and all young people. Great.
That ending was just keep hitting and hitting and hitting. Loved it.
Yeah, it just kept going like fireworks at the end, you know?
It was great. Yeah, it was great.
Did you have a favorite part?
Well, I liked the storyline, the end. That was all good.
Great.
Yeah, we enjoyed it. It was as good as anything we saw in Ireland.
It was absolutely stunning. It was so beautiful. It was so, like, it was immersive, too, because you got to, like, clap along and shout and sing. It was really cool. I liked it a lot.
Oh, it was fantastic. 5 stars.
I really loved it. I love that they incorporated a lot of old songs that we learned as kids that you don't hear anymore. They were fantastic.
Absolutely. It was a great Mother's Day gift for my girls.
Oh, I thought it was amazing. It's one of the best experiences you could ever have.
I lost my voice. I was cheering so hard.
It was a fantastic performance. The kids were unbelievable. Loved the music. Very talented. Like, the amount of talent that was up there was unprecedented. So good.
Oh, I loved every bit of it. It was amazing. The amount of talent, and I just can't imagine all the training that goes into the daily activities of all the kids, and all the traveling, and it's exciting. They're amazing. You're the next stars. You're comparable to Riverdance.
And there you have it. That's some feedback from some of those that attended the performance of Celtic Throne last evening. We're having a little bit of a delay with our Zoom hookup, but hopefully what you're getting on your end is coming through loud and clear. We've got a few minutes left on today's show just to follow on some of those comments about the talent and the versatility. A few weeks ago, I mentioned the dance teacher who visited our campus from Birmingham, England, and came over and saw the rehearsal, and he saw the first performance in Edmund and commented about the versatility of so many of the performers who like to do a lot of different things. If you think about Armstrong College and what we promote, not just at the college, but even at the academy, based upon scriptures like Philippians 2:5 that talk about, or 4 in verse 5, sorry, that talk about letting your moderation or your balance be known. Herbert Armstrong raised up and established Armstrong College or Ambassador College before Armstrong College on the idea that the students needed a broad liberal arts balanced instruction or program so that they could really develop into individuals that, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, are all things to all people. And of course, Herbert Armstrong set a tremendous example in that regard, in that he was able to travel the world and meet with presidents and kings and diplomats, ambassadors, while at the same time, he could certainly communicate with and give a message to just the ordinary citizens in any nation as well. He really did try. He strove to be all things to all people. Let me just give you an example in 1 Kings chapter 10. This is the visit, the Queen of Sheba, when she paid a visit to Solomon's kingdom, and she was just overwhelmed by all of the glory and the splendor And again, you see that not just the balance, but the attention to all kinds of detail. When you visit God's campus today, you see it in the beauty of the campus itself. You obviously see it in the Armstrong Auditorium. You see it in the performances, like I've been saying, with respect to Celtic Throne. And you see it in the people. You see God's presence, basically. If you think about God's character and all that it represents, you know, verses like Philippians 4:8, where it says to, you know, think on all of these things that are lovely and true and right and so on. Just look at the impact that Solomon's kingdom had on this woman. It says in verse 1, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Eternal, she came to prove him with hard questions. She heard about the fame of the kingdom. She heard about Solomon's wisdom, and she wanted to come see it for herself. She was skeptical. Verse 2 says, and she came to Jerusalem with a great train, with camels and bear spices and very much gold, it says, and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not, it says. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat on his table, it says, and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent, by which he went up unto the house of the Eternal, it says, there was no more spirit in her. There was no more spirit. It literally took her breath away. She was just overwhelmed by this experience. She's just visiting someone in another country. And she was blown away. And she was a queen herself. She was used to the pageantry, and she was used to the royal court. But look at the impact that this had on her. The Amplified Bible says that she was breathless and overcome. She just couldn't believe it. All that she was taking in, all that she was seeing, all that she was hearing, all that she was tasting. Everything was exquisite. Verse 6 says, and she said to the king, it was a true report, and I heard in my own land of your acts and of your wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceeds the fame which I heard. I mean, it was even better than the rumors that spread about the magnificence. I came, I saw it for myself, and it's just, I couldn't believe it. Verse 8 says, happy are your men. Notice this. This really stood out to her. Happy are your men. Happy, it says, are these your servants, which stand continually before you, and that hear your wisdom. It says, blessed be the Eternal your God, which delights in you to set you on the throne of Israel. It says, because the Eternal loved Israel forever, therefore made he you king to do judgment and justice. She was praising Solomon God for seeing this beautiful and magnificent kingdom in all of its glory and splendor. She was giving the credit where credit was due. This was God's kingdom. And at this point in his life, Solomon certainly was emphasizing that as well, and probably did so to her so that she would give God the credit and not Solomon. Verse 10 says, and she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. We have an article that my father even referenced recently on Let the Stone Speak about those precious spices that she gave to Solomon. So a wonderful example of just how a godly atmosphere, a godly environment really does have a positive impact on a queen or maybe an audience, visitors coming in from all over the world, perhaps, to see what God has done. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us today in Columbus, Ohio, or to be with us here in Columbus, at least in the viewing sense. And we look forward to another broadcast from Ohio on Monday as well. We'll see you then.